Well, welcome back to Church Online. Let's get into God's Word today and believe that God has something special every time that we dig into His Word. That's the attitude that we need to have, that every time that you open up this precious book, that you know that the God of heaven wants to explain Himself to you, wants to reveal His thoughts and His ways, His perspectives to you. And so as we're digging into God's Word today, I want to turn your attention to two passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 27 and Philippians chapter 2. We're going to spend the most of our time just reading through Acts 27. The Lord brought my attention there this week as I was just thinking about how much change is going on in our world right now. And, you know, sometimes change just for change's sake is not necessarily good. Sometimes change is a wonderful thing, but I have had my head spinning by all the changes. And if you've had your head spinning too by all the things that are going on in the world, you know, you're thinking, okay, is all of this good? Is all of this bad? You know, some people are just running full bore towards it. Yeah, let's change everything. And then some people are like, oh my God, what are we doing here? Let's change nothing. I like the things the way that they were. You know, in the middle of all that, it's time that we ask ourselves some questions, like, where does the church fit in with all of this? What are the necessary changes and the things that we should be doing? And what are the things that perhaps this is just too much? And sometimes that ball gets rolling and we end up throwing away things that we need. So what does God's Word say about the changes that are going on? So I wanted to bring you a message today called The Winds of Change from Acts chapter 27. And just talk to you about what is the winds of change. That's the word that God gave me this week as I was digging into His Word. And I was thinking, okay, God, I know that you want to change some things. What do you want to change about me? What is my role in this? And it's easy for us to think about change and say, okay, I'd like change, because most of us, I think, generally about the first of every year, we start making some resolutions, or we have some things in mind in December maybe that we know that we're going to change those in 2020. We're going to make some New Year's resolutions. And most of the time, let's just be honest here, those changes don't last for very long. But yeah. I found that everybody is a fan of change as long as it's the changes that they can choose. Everybody likes change if it's the things that I can say, I can pick and choose what I think needs to change with the things that I think are good for me. But what about when you don't get to choose anymore? Yeah. What about when people are choosing for you? What about when things are changing so fast that you didn't get a say-so in this? What are we supposed to do here? You know, we love change when we get to pick what changes, but the winds of change that are blowing are not blowing very gently this season. Right. You know, it doesn't feel like some calm, gentle breeze. No, it feels like a tornado. Yes. And here in Texas, where we're filming this, here in East Texas, Texas in the Midwest is known for having tornadic activity. We understand high winds, and there are things that people maybe in other parts of the world would never understand. You may have hurricanes, but tornadoes in Texas are crazy, and we've seen some of the damage that tornadoes can do. High winds that force things to change immediately. You know, wind can be a powerful thing. Yep. So what happens when those winds are against you? What happens when it's difficult to move? What happens when it's pushing yourself into places that you didn't want to go? That's exactly where we find the Apostle Paul in Acts 27. And I want to just read through just a ton of this chapter because it's so good. It tells a brilliant story about how do we handle the winds of change? How do we handle what changes are right and good? How do we keep the right perspective and the right attitude through all the changes that are coming? And what's the church's role in all of this? And so as we're digging into God's Word today, we'll start it there in Acts 27. And it says this: when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius. Now, we know that that Luke, the doctor, was writing the book of Acts. He's traveling along with Paul. And I like how he says, when it was decided, as if he's trying very clearly to tell us that it wasn't my decision. We had no decision in this. There's a loss of control. Here's things happening and we had no control. It was decided for us. You ever been in a situation where it was decided and it wasn't decided by you? Yeah. That's kind of how I feel like it should be the main theme across this year. It was decided, but not by me. Things change, things happen, and I had no say-so in it. It says they belong to the Imperial Regiment, so they got on board a ship. Here we go. And it says, from there, we put out to the sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. Well, that's a timely word right there. You ever felt like the winds were against you? Like everything that you do is just pushing back, just trying to make any progress at all. This is where Paul finds himself with Luke. In verse 7, it says, we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off, and I don't even know how to pronounce the next word, Cnidus maybe? Some city that doesn't exist anymore. It says, when the wind, maybe it was blown away. like Oz. Like it took them to, never mind. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salamis, I don't know. Another city that I don't know how to pronounce. It says we moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens. Or in other words, like we finally got to a place where it's known to be a good port. Okay, we had a rough time. We're finally at the end of this, except they weren't. And I thought, man, how appropriate is that for the year that we've seen already? Just when you think you're at the end of something, you realize, no, not quite. And in this situation, it goes from bad to worse. It goes from being difficult to being deadly. And it goes on to say, we moved along this coast until we came to a place called Fair Haven, and much time had been lost. Those words jumped out at me as I was reading God's word this week. Much time had been lost. Like we wasted so much time just sitting inside of a house, just doing nothing or being quarantined or being shut down because nothing's happening. Can't move, can't do the ministry that I want, can't live life like I want. Much time had been lost. He said, and it became dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them. He says, okay, guys, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It's going to bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also. In other words, hey, I'm trying to warn you. And this is not an encouraging word. But I found that nobody wants to listen to God's word till it's too late. Yeah. And this is exactly what happens. It says, but the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Or this is where the voice of culture drowns out wisdom. Yeah. And man, we're seeing that a lot in our world today. We get so enraptured by all the change that's happening that we stop thinking, okay, should it change? What's the right thing to change? And is this just change for change's sake? But instead of listening to the voice of wisdom, instead of turning our hearts back to God's word, instead of listening to men and women of God that are trying to tell us what things are appropriate, what things should change, what things shouldn't, we'll just take the voice of culture. Voice of culture can be a deadly thing. This is what Paul is warning them against. It says, well, since this harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. There's the majority. What people say and what the Apostle Paul was saying. And I found that this is even true in our churches. We decide that we're just going to go along with what the majority is saying and start getting out of God's word. This is important. And there's a reason why God's word doesn't change. It's because it doesn't have to. Right. It's the truth, and the truth doesn't have to change. Right. It's timeless. But since the majority decided this is what we're going to do, they called this Fair Havens place unsuitable to be stuck in. Like, well, if you had any idea what was coming, you would have stayed there. But they decide, no, it's going to be fine. We'll move on. We can handle this. When it was very clear that Paul said, no, you can't. This is going to be disaster for you. Alarm bells are going off. You know, bad decisions are being made because change is coming. Stop pretending that it's normal because it ain't. And if you're not from Texas, you might not know what that word means. But it means it's not. It's not normal. It ain't. Move on down to verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, or what they thought was their opportunity. So they weighed anchor, and they sailed along the shore of Crete. But before long, a wind of hurricane force, called a northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and were driven along. And man, that feels like a lot of this year as well. You just had to ride it out. Ever been in a place where you just had to weigh the anchor? How much does it weigh? Just be driven along. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. Here we go. There's nothing I can do to control this. And you know, when changes are coming, man, it's one thing to be able to control the changes. But when somebody's like me with my personality, I have a hard time not being able to control the changes and deciding what things need to change. Is there an order to this? Is there a rhyme or reason? Is what about what God says? Instead of just let's change it all. Let's tear everything down. Let's blow it all up. I want to know, what does God say? I don't like being just pushed along. You know, and there are times, of course, in the Bible where God does crazy things in storms. There are times with Job that the storm was there because of disobedience. There are times with Jesus that storms came because he was going to walk on it. There are times when Jesus calmed storms. There are times where he slept during them. Only God knows why some storms happen, and some are treated this way and some go this way. But the important thing is, what are we learning through all this? Are we just being swept along with it and having no choice? And so Paul has no choice. He can't control it. And I don't like being in situations like that. I was reminded of a time when me and a buddy of mine, he's a worship pastor in Tyler, Texas, and we were talking this afternoon, and we were talking about, do you remember when we were 14 and 15 years old, we went to a fair, and it's kind of like a carnival, but run by meth heads that they put up in like the mall parking lot. So he's one of those. And we were there for some reason or another, and we decided that we kind of dared each other into getting on one of these rides. And it was one of those rides that you get inside of a circle, inside of this metal, like, looks kind of like a bowl, and it has a little lid on it, and you get a bunch of people in here, and the thing starts spinning, and it kind of just sucks people to the wall. Maybe you've seen something like that. I don't know what they're called. I just know that I don't like them. There's not a whole lot of control. Now, on a roller coaster, I at least have the bar there, and I can hold on to the bar and feel like I have some sort of control. But in this room, I'd never been in anything like that before. And because, you know, we're kids, and we think we're invincible, we think this will be fine, we kind of dare each other to do it. Well, we get in this ride, and this thing takes off spinning. And we're having fun for, you know, the first 30 or 40 seconds. But what we didn't know is outside that the thing would not stop. They couldn't shut it off. And something happened to the machine and ended up running for a lot longer than what it was supposed to run. A lot longer than what is safe. And so inside this room, after a couple minutes, turns into like 5 minutes, which, by the way, when you're spinning and stuck to a wall, seems like an eternity. This, by the way, was in the middle of one of the hottest Texas summers, and the heat mixed, it was bad. And so I'm not going to describe to you, and be grateful that I'm not, that what was happening on the inside of that room, but it got nasty quick. People were screaming, people were trying to hold on to things, people were trying to just curl up in the fetal position, because hey, we're in survival mode now. Things went from bad out in the heat to worse, uncontrolled motion where there's nothing that you can do but ride it out. And as we were talking about this story today, this afternoon, I was like, man, do you remember that when they finally shut this thing off and they opened up the doors, like all of us, none of us could walk out of it. We had to crawl out. We were like literally bear crawling out of this thing. And I don't want to have to tell you what I had to crawl through, but it was bad. And I remember just having to lay on the ground to get some stability because I was so like seasick. And laying on the hot asphalt in the middle of a Texas summer, and that being the better choice than being back in that room, that was a crazy time that I will never forget. And I've never gone on something like that again. You can have that. If you guys are thrill junkies, you think that's a great time, go for it. Have at it, Hoss. But as for me and my house, we will not. That's not happening. Because I know what happens when you can't turn those things off. And this is kind of like what Paul finds himself in. He finds himself in a place where you have no control. Yeah. You just got to ride it out. Yeah. And this is going to be bad. Mm-hmm. And as we're picking it up in verse 18, it says this: "We took such a violent battering from the storm that next day that they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." You know, I see that happening a lot as the hits keep coming this year. 2020 has been a year of losing hope for a lot of people. It's been a crazy ride. They've lost money. They've lost friends. People are getting sick. Anxiety's at an all-time high. Lost jobs and lost opportunities. No one knows when things are going to change. And then hope just kind of seems to go out the window. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul finally stood up and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." You ever been in a place where you want to say, "I told you so"? I love that the Bible doesn't just hide this from us, but tells us Paul had a sense of humor. And Paul was like, "Hey, I tried to tell you. Nobody want to listen. I told you so." But he also is reminding them of the fact that he speaks on behalf of the Lord. He knew that this was coming. And it sets them up for the statement that he makes right after this. Tell them, "I knew what was going to happen back then. And so I need you to trust that I know what's about to happen next." He goes on to say, you would have spared yourself this damage and this loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. And that really is the word that I bring to you today. For those of you that lost hope, it's been a long year. You're tired and sick, down and out. Get your courage up. God's not finished with you yet. This thing isn't over. It's not over. And I think that you just need to hear that sometimes. That God's still working in the middle of all of this. And His people are still called to do great things. And I know this for a fact, that God doesn't waste pain. And you've walked through this for a reason. He's not finished. Get your courage up. Get your hope up. Let's put our trust back in the Lord. It says, this, not one of you are going to be lost. Man, that's a good word to hang on to. It says, only this ship is going to be destroyed. Well, uh-oh. You mean, so that means we're about to get wet. You know, and here it goes. It goes from bad to worse. It says, but last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand the trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all the men who sail with you. Thank you, Lord. Unless you're a woman at the time. Wait a minute. Women too? Like us too? No, he says, God's going to make sure everybody's going to make it. And they do, by the way. Read the end of the story. They all make it. But at the time, it didn't seem like there was a lot of hope at all. It says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Where you didn't listen then, but you can still listen now. I love that God is a second chance God. I love that he's not just being silent in these moments. But for those that have turned their back on him, those that have forgotten about him, those that have gotten hurt and lost hope, God's calling out again. He's saying, look, you can do this. Get back up on the horse. It's time to get back at it. And so I want to give you 5 ways to find purpose in the storm. And if we ever need a purpose right now, if we ever needed hope right now, this is the time to do it. And the first thing that I see that Paul encourages the men to do is don't trust the boat. Number one, don't trust the boat. I wonder, what is your boat? You know, I think in here it represents your security. And if 2020 has shown us anything, is that there's not a lot of things that are secure. Jobs come and go. Stock market comes, goes. You thought school, you could count on school to take your children, those little rugrats. No, you can't. You can't count on a lot of things. This has been the year where you have to realize, what can I really trust in? Everything is gone. Don't trust the boat. Here's the great thing about God, is that he doesn't need your resources. He wants to be your resource. And he's saying, I want you to trust me. And so I love this about what's happening here in the middle of the storm. Paul is saying, hey, look, you know, don't put your trust in this boat. You know, later on it says they tried to lower the lifeboat, and Paul's like, no. You can't trust the lifeboat either. Seriously? No. As a matter of fact, when he's leading them through this, he takes away everything except, you're going to be fine, and that's all I'm going to tell you. You're going to make it through this, but this boat ain't going anywhere except for the bottom of the sea. You know, sometimes it takes a stripping away for us to get back to what's really important. And that's a simple trust in God. I love the words of Job. And if anyone ever lost more than I've lost this year, more than you've lost this year, it was a man named Job. And I want to encourage you, if you've never read the story of Job, go back and read what that man lost. He lost his family, lost his riches, lost his health. And in the midst of all that pain, he has one of the most amazing replies. And he says this in chapter 30, verse 15, though he, being God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Yeah. Think about the power of those words. God, even if this is the end, I'm not going to lose my trust in you. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Not the boat, not my resources, not my finances, not the fact that I'll have church on Sunday morning. You may not have it.
Come on.
What I do know is this, God will still be there.
Yes. Yes.
And though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We can only trust in the goodness of God.
Yes.
You know, that ship was built with the cheapest materials by the lowest bidder. But God never fails. Here's the second thing, a way to find purpose in the storm is you're going to have to let go and let God.
Yeah.
Let go and let God. And for those that may have owned this ship, those that had a lot of resources tied up in the tackle and all these things that were going on with the boat, you have to let go of those things. Letting go of normal and holding on to what is supernatural is an important part of this year and the lessons that we're learning in the midst of a global pandemic. We have to let go and let God. You know, I remember being on the playground as a kid. And one of the things that I learned, one of those powerful lessons that you maybe didn't even know you learned, was that in order to make any progress on the monkey bars, you've got to let go of the one that you had your hand on. You've got to let go to be able to move forward, or you're going to drop. And for some of us that love control, and I'm one of those, this has been a year of letting go. I've realized a couple of things, that I can either have control or I can have growth, but I can't have both.
Amen.
Either he's God and he's worth trusting in, or he's not. But make a decision. I've chosen this year to let go and let God. And in the process, he's shown me some amazing things. In 1 Peter, it says this, to cast all of your cares. Another version says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I love that Greek word there for cast. It literally means to throw it out. You know, I found this to be true, that you can't throw something while simultaneously hanging on to it. That's impossible. And this is what we do. We throw our cares on God, but we hold on to them. Like, it's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to cast it, but like a fishing rod. You know, I still really have control of it.
Yeah.
No, casting it means letting it go. Releasing it from your grip. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he cares for you. Here's the third one, and I'm going to say it a little different way, but here's the third way to find purpose in a storm, and that's to check your shine. To check your shine. And I want to say it that way because it'll help you to remember it. Here's this. Paul stands up and says, hey, take courage, men. Take courage, because they had given up hope. And it reminds me of this scripture that I came across, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 14, it says, do all things, and by the way, even the hard things, all things, without grumbling or questioning. Your Bible may say without grumbling or complaining. Well, which things? All things. Without grumbling or complaining, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of, and look at this, a crooked and twisted generation. This is where we are. If ever there were two words to describe this generation, it is crooked and twisted. And then he gives us something powerful to close out this verse. He says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You can't just look at them and say they're crooked, they're perverse, they're twisted. He said, no, you're supposed to be the light. You're the church. You're the ones called. You're the sons and daughters of God. How are they supposed to learn? Shine. Shine. Paul takes advantage of this moment and stands up and begins to let the light shine into a storm. Check your shine. Check your shine. We're called to not just be taken out of this world, but to be the light in the middle of it, to a crooked and twisted generation. You know, nothing stops momentum like a bad attitude, like those that just refuse to shine. And I found this, the attitude's a big deal with God. And when there's a lot of things that I can't control happening around me, I can still control my attitude. And I want to encourage you to get into the place where you're talking to God. Say, okay, God, help me to shine. Help me to shine the right way. Help me to shine. I see what's happening in the generation, the world around me. Help me to shine. I don't want to just live in the dark, curl up in the fetal position and wait for this to all be over. I wish I could, but that's not the church. I don't find a lot of examples like this in his word. Shine. So how do I do that, God? And as I'm starting to talk to him, he gives me ways to do that. You know, and I found that I can talk to God and be honest with him about how I feel and the things that I can't change and things that I'm supposed to be changing and things that I'm not sure what we're doing with the things that are coming into our world. In the process of that, I can be honest with him. But I found that I always start those prayers. As a matter of fact, every prayer that I pray now starts with gratitude, thankfulness. I check my attitude before I ask God for anything. Check your shine. I wrote it down this way. Never cop an attitude before you show gratitude, especially with God. Attitude goes a long way. So start your prayers by being grateful for what you do have. Before you complain about what you can't change, what you don't want to change, what is changing, what you don't have control of, check your attitude so that God can help you to shine. Here's the fourth way to find purpose in the storm, is to start encouraging in the dark. You know, it says Paul stands up and in verse 33, it says, just before dawn, Paul stood up and urged them all to eat. You know, when is it darkest? Just before dawn, isn't it? That tells me that Paul did this in the darkest of the day. You know, it's easy to stand up and start encouraging people when you see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's another thing to do it when you don't see it. So there are a lot of things that I wish I could say I see happening right now. I see the end of this. It's almost over. But I'll tell you this. I see that it's darkest right now, just before the dawn. And so I bring a message of encouragement today that even though I can't see it with my natural eyes, by faith, I can. Yeah. I know who controls the wind and the waves. Yes. And I know the word that he's promised us. You're going to make it. Yes. You're going to make it. Yes. You're going to be okay. You can't trust your boat. No. You got to change your attitude. Yeah. You got to get some things, some things that you think have to stay the same. You got to let those things go. But in the process, you're going to find that the Lord begins to encourage your heart so that you can encourage others. He stands up and begins to shine, begins to encourage, begins to use what he can do. He can encourage. This is the word that I feel like that God has for our church today. For those of you that are watching, is who have you encouraged lately? Yeah. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I've held on to that scripture. That's been a powerful word for this year. I need to refresh others because I need to be refreshed. I need some encouragement too. Paul stands up and begins to encourage. Paul says, for the last 14 days, you've been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you, take some food. You're going to need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after he said this, he took some bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. And they were all, look, encouraged and ate some food themselves. You know, encouragement is contagious. That's something that we can absolutely spread right now. It needs to be spread.
Amen.
A little encouragement. The fifth thing is this. How do I find purpose in the middle of the storm? I give people hope.
That's good.
Give them hope. Amen. Our world is full of things that suck the life right out of you. That make you think this will never end. Your social media feed is full of it. Yes. No hope.
Yep.
Be the light. Be the light of hope today in a world that's so desperately needs it. How do we do this? You have to start looking through the eyes of faith. You know, you've got to see the breakthrough before it actually breaks through.
Right.
This is what Paul does. He says, look, you're going to make this. I'm not sure where it's at yet, but God has told us we're going to be on dry land. And if you read the end of the chapter, all of them make it.
Yeah.
Was it easy? No, but they made it. I'm here to tell you today, I know it's not easy, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Take some encouragement, find some hope in the word of the Lord. Let me just prophesy over you today. You're going to make it.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. This will end. Storms come to pass. It won't last forever.
Yeah.
It may feel like it, but it doesn't last.
Yeah.
Get your strength up. It's almost over. You can do this. Yeah. You know, as Christians, you know, change in difficult situations, they trick us into believing that we should just take care of ourselves. We kind of curl up into the fetal position like we did on that spinning room, and I just kind of go into survival mode. I just got to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a trick of the enemy.
Yes. That's right.
To convince you that the world can't be affected by you right now. The world needs you to shine.
Absolutely.
They need you to shine.
Yeah.
So Paul goes the other way. Instead of just curling up and worrying about himself, he stands up and first he says, look, I told you so. But then he says, no, I need you to listen to me because I told you so.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what's about to happen. Hopefully you'll listen this time. It's going to save your life.
Yeah.
He encourages. He speaks faith. You see, the point is not to just get through all the changes, but to help others who are dealing with changes too.
So,
some great questions to ask yourself, and we'll close it out with this today. Who can I encourage today? Who are the people that I know are just treading water right now? Because there's always someone that's worse off than you. Who can I give some hope to today? You know what a horrible question to ask is? Who needs my opinion today?
Come on.
Who needs my political beliefs?
Come on. So good.
Who needs to know how stupid they are for voting for this person? Who needs to know how stupid they are for voting for that person? Nobody needs that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
Who needs to know which statues I think should be torn down? We don't need any more of that. So would you speak hope?
Yeah.
Our world needs hope. Give them Jesus.
Yes.
Give them Jesus. And this is the message that I bring to you today. And if you like what you're hearing, I want to encourage you, would you click that like button? Would you share this message? If you're watching this video in church on a Sunday morning, would you do me a favor and log on and actually share this message? Our world needs a little bit of hope. And I feel like God is speaking to his people. And he's saying, look, I told you, I warned you. But I'm also going to tell you what's coming next. Maybe darkest just before the dawn, but there is a dawn coming. And you're going to be okay. People need hope. Give them some hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, His blood, His righteousness.
Amen.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. As we end today, I just want to pray for those who've lost a lot of hope. It's been a tough season. We're all in this together. We're all fighting a lot of the same battles. It's been a rough year on everybody. It's a level playing field. And even though the year has been crazy, God is still good. And I want to have the same attitude that Job had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want to encourage you to trust in the goodness of God. Trust that there is coming a day where you'll look back on this and say, wow, I made it. For those of you that lost hope, would you take a moment and bow your head right where you are? I want to pray for you and ask that the God of all hope would fill you to the place of overflowing, that you would abound in hope today, that you would get your hopes up again, that you start believing again, that you'd be encouraged to keep going and not quit. Bow your head right where you are. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, you're the God of all hope, and there is no hope for anything in this world without you. So, Lord, in the midst of all the winds of change that are making life so difficult right now, in the midst of not knowing what's good and what's not, we know that you're good. And so instead of trusting in our goodness or the goodness of changes, we instead decide to trust your goodness. I trust that you're taking all things and working them out for my good, because you're a good God. And everything that the enemy is meeting for evil, you work it out for my good. So I say yes. Whatever you want, whatever you say, I trust you. I trust your goodness. Father, I pray that you would strengthen my friends right now, that you would encourage them and use them, Lord, to encourage somebody else. Our world needs hope. Our world needs encouragement. Use us to encourage others. And I give you thanks for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Amen. You know, my friend, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, this next part is just for you. Right where you are, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe like me, you were raised in church, but you got away from him. If you need to come back to Jesus, I want you to know that he loves you. And he's a second chance God. And right where you are, if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, I want you to know that I love you enough to do for you what somebody did for me one time, to help you to do that. What I'm going to do in the next few moments is just lead you in a prayer. And I want to invite you right where you are to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. You can do it out loud or in your heart, but right where you are, just pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose again so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life. Would you save me? Forgive me and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer, I am so proud of you. Would you do me a favor? Would you text me? The number is 94090. Text the words, I prayed, all one word. That would mean so much to me. It lets me know that somewhere out there, there are people that are asking Christ to come into their heart. That means the world to me. For everyone else, I want to thank you for your financial support. Those of you that have been so generous. We could not do what we do without people standing behind us faithfully and saying, I want to support your ministry. I want to support what you're doing. I believe that you're making an impact, making a difference. God is doing great things here, by the way. You ought to see the things that God is doing. It is phenomenal to see that in the midst of chaos and panic and a global pandemic, God is still doing amazing things. And I thank you for being a part of that. That means the world to me. So God bless you as you go. Thank you for supporting us. We love you. Hope to see you soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.